Mrs. Sohn's father, Mr. Harold Levine of Shalom, Rav Yecheskel ben Rav Yaakov Chanocha Levi, and Mr. Sohn's father, Dr. Harry Sohn of Shalom, Rav Tzvi ben Rav Lazar of Shalom. Yesterday we left off, I was rushing at the end to get through that Rav Sternbach, and I feel like I certainly did not do it, not just feel like, I know I didn't do it justice, and I wanted to. So today, the layout for today's shiur, the plan of attack is going to be as follows. I want to say over that Rav Sternbach again, a little more clearly, and go through how he answers the various questions that we asked on Kabbalah's Pnei Rabbi Bregel. Then a few quick, short ha'aros on the Agadat Gemara that leads up to the Mishnah, mostly ha'aros that I heard from Rav Shechter when we learned Sukkah in his shiur, maybe a couple of other little things, just on Chav Chesem Rav, just to point out, and then to start attacking the sugya of Ketanim and Sukkah, what the chiyuv of Ketanim and Sukkah is. That is our plan of attack. So let's start with Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach starts his piece by pointing to a passage in the Chak Yaakov on Hilchos Pesach, where the Chak Yaakov writes that if a person doesn't say Shachyanu on the first day of Shavuos, don't worry, you have the whole week after Shavuos where you can still say Shachyanu. A phenomenal chiddush, right? We know that on Pesach it makes sense that if you didn't say Shachyanu the first day, it's still Pesach on the second day, so you can say Shachyanu on the second day. But it doesn't make all that much sense to say that once Shavuos is over, you can still say Shachyanu on the Yom, that there's got to be some characteristic of the Yom that carries forward in order to be able to still say Shachyanu. Do we ever have such an idea that that it's a little bit of a Yontif when it's not actually Yontif? That it's that a day is considered to have some characteristics of a Yontif when it's not actually a Yontif? So you might have such an idea when it comes to the Sugya in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim of Shaul and V'darshan B'Hilchos HaChag Lamed Yom Kodem HaChag. That the idea, for instance, the Gemara in Pesachim says, how do I know that if you leave your house within 30 days of Pesach, that you need to do Bedikas Chametz before you leave, whereas if you leave 31 days before Pesach, or 35 days before Pesach, you don't need to do Bedikas Chametz before you leave, says the Gemara, because there's a rule, Sholin V'darshan Milchus HaChag Lamed Yom Kodem HaChag, that you're supposed to learn the Halachos of the Yontif 30 days before the Yontif. So all the Achronim ask, what does that have to do with anything? Just because you learn the Halachos, that means you got to do Bedikas Chametz, because it's the time to learn the Halachos. What does that mean? That just because it's time to learn the halachos that you have to therefore it's a mechayiv in bedikas chametz. What does that have to do with bedikas chametz? Also, in the Gemara Maseches Tainis, the Mishnah Maseches Tainis, where the Mishnah says that So the Gemara Taina says, just like there's a din that when Chodesh Av comes, we minimize our simcha, when Chodesh Adar comes, we maximize our simcha. Zakt Rashi, what does it mean? Why is it Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha? You may simcha, Hayuli Yisrael, these were great days of joy for the Jewish people, Purim uPesach. It's Purim and Pesach. And everyone asks that Rashi. Chodesh Adar has Purim, Pesach is in Chodesh Nisan. What in the world is Rashi talking about? So it has been suggested, I don't remember where or who, but it has been suggested that perhaps the idea of Sholin V'Darshin Milchus HaChag Lamed Yom Kodem HaChag, as we discussed yesterday, might relate very much to the idea of Darshin Hilchus HaChag B'Chag, and that in the following way, that the din of Sholem V'Darshan for 30 days in advance of the Chag is not only preparation for the Chag, but the Yom Tov of Pesach almost extends backwards for 30 days. Certain elements of the Yom Tov of Pesach extend backwards 30 days. That it's got to be on your radar 30 days in advance, and that's why you need to do Bedikas Chametz 30 days in advance. It's like the Yom Tov of Pesach spreads a cloud over those entire 30 days. It's not actually Pesach. There's no mitzvah of matzah, isser chametz, or any of that. But there is some shtickle of Pesach that extends for 30 days in advance, and that's mechayiv of bedikas chametz, and that's perhaps what Rashi means when he says that you may simcha hayu Yisrael Purim uPesach, because the days of Pesach already begin 30 days in advance of Pesach. So you have such a concept that maybe there is such a thing that even when the Yontif is not actually there anymore or there yet, it's not actually Yontif, the Yontif somehow paints or colors or influences the days around it. So that's what Chok Yaakov wants to suggest with the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's not actually Shavuos, but just like there's Tashlumin for the Karban on Shavuos for the entire week after Shavuos, so you see that there's a shtick Yom Tov of Shavuos, that it's still called a little bit of Shavuos throughout that entire week. So says the Chok Yaakov, therefore, he doesn't say in all these words, but he says maybe that's the svar of the Chok Yaakov that you can go and say Shechianu for that entire week. Now the Maril Diskin commented on that Chok Yaakov, and he says that it doesn't seem to make much sense to him, because even if you hold that there is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel throughout the 7 days after Shavuos, but still the Rebbe can be mochel. So what's Maril Diskin talking about? What he's suggesting is, okay, let's look for a din that applies Bizman HaZeh that will still make it that the week after Shavuos is called Shavuos. That somehow the Yom Tov of Shavuos actually colors the week after Shavuos, actually influences the week after Shavuos. So Maral Diskin says, the only thing I could think of is Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel. Maybe Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel still applies for the whole week afterwards. And maybe that's what the Chok Yaakov is thinking. So you see, it's a little bit of Shavuos, and that's enough to be Mechayev Shechianu, in case you forgot it. Maral Diskin says, but that's wrong, because Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel is not enough to be Mechayev Shechianu. Why is it not enough? Meaning, I'll accept that it's true, says Maral Diskin, that Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel applies Bizman HaZeh, and that it applies for the week after Shavuos. But it's not enough to be Mechayev Shechianu, because it's not such a Chiyuv. A Rebbe can always be Mochel, and therefore it's not enough to be Mechayiv. So the whole reason Rav Shurmach quotes this whole Vart with the Shechianu and the back and forth is for that comment of the Maral Diskin, where the Maral Diskin is ready to say that Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel applies Bizman HaZeh, and that it applies for an entire week after Shavuos. And that's the point that he wants to analyze. We'll get to the second question. No questions? There was some raising hand. Okay, I guess it was answered, or you forgot it, whatever. So let's move on. So Rav Shurmach says that, first of all, this idea that you're not going to say Shechianu because whatever dinim of Shavuos apply for a week after Shavuos are only a reshus and not a chiyuv, the din of Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel is only a reshus and not a chiyuv, he says, we make bracha with the bracha of Shechianu on a reshus all the time. You buy a new suit, that's a reshus. You eat a new fruit, that's a reshus. Shechianu is not always on a chiyuv. Very often it's on a reshus. But he points out that's not really such a kash on the Maral Diskin, because there are two mechayvim of Shechianu that are independent of each other. Sometimes a mechayv of Shechianu is the simcha that a person feels by eating a new fruit, wearing a new suit, something like that. That's one mechayv of a Shechianu, and that's even when it's a dvar reshus. But another mechayiv of Shechianu is a yom, a special yom or a mitzvah abba mizman lizman, where those are chiyuvim, like netilas lulav, the yom tov, whatever, each of the yom tovim. Those mechayivim of Shechianu are a separate mechayiv, and as separate mechayivim, those need to actually be a chiyuv and not just a reshus. So he says maybe that point of the Maral Diskin is valid. And he points out, but what you also see from the Maral Diskin is the answer to what we called question number 5 yesterday, which is, what is the nature of the chiyuv of visiting the Rebbe? Is it a mitzvah Talmud Torah? Is it a mitzvah of gaining inspiration from the Rebbe for yourself? Is it a mitzvah of showing kavod to the Rebbe? He says, what it seems clear from the Maral Diskin is that it's a mitzvah of showing kavod to the Rebbe. Because why else would the Rebbe have the right to be mochel? If it's my mitzvah to gain inspiration from the Rebbe, he can't be mochel my inspiration. If it's my mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he can't be mochel my mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But if the mitzvah is just if the mitzvah is a mitzvah of giving kavod, so he could be mochel kavod. That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin says, that a rav shemochel al kavodo, kavodo machul, because he has the right to be machul on his kavod, because Torah dileu, it's his Torah, so that he gains a kinyan on his Torah, and since the kavod is on account of his Torah, he has the right to be mochel on his kavod. So it must be, you see, the geder of the chiyuv is a geder of kavod arav. And he says, I have rayas to this. Rashi at the beginning of Maseches Chagiga writes, Yom Tovaya v'chayiv Adam l'chabein rabo b'hakbalas panav. How does Rashi word the chiyuv of kabbalas panav rabo b'regel? L'chabein rabo b'hakbalas panav. A very strong terminology. To be mechabed the Rebbe, that's the geder achiyuv. To give honor to the Rebbe by going to visit him. You also have the Rambam in Perikei of Talmud Torah, the Rambam that we saw already. The Rambam says that you have to stand for your Rebbe when he walks into a room, Meloenov. You have to stand wherever, right, as long as you can see him. And you have to go visit him on Yantif. Why does the Rambam juxtapose those two halachos? Because he's talking about the chiyuv to be mechabed a Rebbe. So the chiyuv to be mechabed a Rebbe is a chiyuv that expresses itself in the obligation to stand for the Rebbe, and it expresses itself in the obligation to visit the Rebbe. So you see, it is a din of kavod harav. This is where the Rambam is difficult, is why the Rambam only applies that to Rabbo Muvhak. You have to be mechabed even Rabbo Sheino Muvhak, and the Rambam seems to associate this with only Rabbo Muvhak, because the Rambam, that halach on the Rambam about the standing, the Rambam is giving you the halachas of how you stand for a Rebbe Muvhak, which is different than how you would stand for a Rebbe Sheino Muvhak, but that's a side problem. And he says maybe the reason why we apply this only to a Rebbe Muvhak is because what's the source of the old din of Kabbalas Panei Rav Beregel? Is going to visit the Gadol Adar, going to visit Elisha. So maybe a Gadol Adar has the status of Rabbo Muvhak, especially a Navi that's the unquestioned leader of Klal Yisrael. He might have a din of a Rabbo Muvhak of all of Klal Yisrael. Right? If someone, let's say, living in the Dor HaMidbar didn't have a personal kesher with Moshe Rabbeinu, probably Moshe Rabbeinu still had the status of Rabbo Muvhak. All the Torah that anybody had was all straight from Moshe Rabbeinu, so probably he still had the status of Rabbo Muvhak. The Navi, Mistama, had a status of Rabbo Muvhak, so it could be that's why the Rambam links it to that. And then Rav Shurmach quotes the Nod Yehuda. Nod Yehuda's approach that we mentioned yesterday, where the Nod Yehuda asks two of our questions. Question number one, Nod Yehuda asks, is how do you see from Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos that there's a mitzvah to visit your Rebbe on Yontif? And question number two that the Nod Yehuda asks, why does the Shulchan Aruch not quote this halacha b'zman hazeh? So the Nod B'Yuda had said that really the chiyuv, just the chaz, what we said yesterday, really the chiyuv is you have to visit your Rebbe, really it should be at any moment of inspiration, any time you can gain inspiration from him, that's when you should have to visit him. And gaining inspiration are days where that have extra kedusha, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yantif, all of it, you should have to go all the time. But Chazal could not be koveya a chiyuv to do more for your Rebbe than you would for God. Where do we see that Chazal don't have the right to be koveh a chiyuv to do more for your Rebbe than you have a chiyuv to do for God? You see that the precedent for that is in Kiddush Al Lamed Gimel about how often you have to stand for your Rebbe each day. You're only mechuyuv to stand from twice because you're only mechuyuv to say Kriya Shema for God twice a day. Similarly, dealing with Kabbalas Panav, just like you don't have a chiyuv to be mekabel pnei hashchina more than three times a year by being olah l'regel, so too you're not going to have a chiyuv to go visit your Rebbe more than three times a year. But an inyan to do so, absolutely, there's an inyan to do so every Rosh Chodesh, every Shabbos. It makes sense to do it, but it's not a chiyuv to do it. Says Nod B'Yuda, b'zman hazeh, we no longer have a chiyuv to be mekabel pnei shchina at all. There's no longer aliyah l'regel. Memela, we have no chiyuv to be mekabel pnei rabo at all. Fract of Shurmach, a very obvious kash, yeah? His Rebbe's dead.
Okay, he's not.
You go visit him by his Rebbe. I guess, right? I guess that's how it would work out. Yeah. That's probably not called Mavakar Panav. That's the... that's a major shaila. You know, Makar Baruch. Did I ever tell you that story? Makar Baruch, what Makar Baruch is? Makar Baruch is the four-volume autobiography that Rav Baruch Epstein wrote about himself. He wrote autobiographies, usually about himself. He wrote a four-volume autobiography about his life, and there's a lot of Torah. Rav Baruch Levi Epstein was the author of? Anybody? Torah Tamima. So he wrote it for it. They translated it and put it into English, and they called it My Uncle the Netziv. A lot of it is about his relationship with the Netziv. My Uncle the Netziv has been banned by the Lakewood community because it says that the Netziv read newspapers, so and other scandalous things like that. So it's been banned, but I've read it. It does exist, but in the original that hasn't been banned because no one reads it anyway. Who's going to read a 4-volume autobiography? I remember Shakti used to quote it all the time. He would say, and every time he quoted it, he would say, "Who has time to read a 4-volume autobiography? I read it when I was in high school when I was 15 years old." He's quoting it like you say it, like every little shtickle Torah that it said there. So anyway, in Makar Baruch, he says that there was a time where there was a yeshiva bacher in Valazhin who was learning very stark, was a gewaldic of genius in Valazhin, learning in Valazhin, and it came a time that his family needed him to go out and make money. And because they were very poor. So the yeshiva bachar sadly had to leave the yeshiva, and the netziv, who was very connected to this yeshiva bachar, was all sad that he had to leave the yeshiva, but he had to do what he had to do. So he was a banker, and whenever he would come to town, whenever he would pass through Valazhin, he'd always make sure to stop off by the netziv's house. So Makar Baruch, he writes that this bachar, this genius of a bachar, was visiting Valazhin once, and he stopped by the Netziv, and he saw there was a big tumult by the Netziv's house, and he wanted to know what the tumult was all about. And they said all the Rabbanim were there, and they were arguing back and forth. He said someone had come in with the following shaila. The guy had taken a neder, and this is why it reminded me of the guy had taken a neder, that he got angry at somebody. He said, "I'm never going to see your face again. I never want to see your face again." And now the person had died, and he wanted to know, can he go to the Levaya? Is that called seeing his face again? He wants to ask Mechila at the Kever. Is that okay? Can you go visit the Kever? Is that called Kabbalas Panav? Can he go to the Kever? So this, the Makar Baruch writes, starts being writes, that this yeshiva bachar, this genius yeshiva bachar who's passing through town, said, "It's enough in a pasuk in Chumash." He says, "What do you mean it's pasuk in Chumash?" He says, "It's Parshas Shavua." It was Parshas Beshalach at the time. He says, "By Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro less, and he tells Paro, it's like, you see my face today, I'm never going to see your face ever again, right? I'm never going to see you," or I forgot who says to, but someone says, "I'm never going to see your face ever again." And what does Rashi say on Chumash after Kriyas Yamsuf? The bodies of the Mitzrim, because the Jews weren't sure what happened to the Mitzrim. Maybe they made it out on the other side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bodies of the Mitzrim wash ashore. So you see that must not be called Kabbalas Panav. Not re'ias panim when they're dead, because it's no longer the same panim when they're dead. And he said everyone was like dancing for joy. What a brilliant answer it was! And the Netziv told this genius yeshiva bacher, whenever you have thoughts like this, make sure to write them down, and you can have a beautiful sefer one day. And the Makar Baruch says, and that boy did write them down, and now he has a sefer called Torah Tamima. And the whole story was about himself. So that was that's that story. So is it Kabbalas Panim to visit the Kever? Mistama, it's not Kabbalas Panim to visit the Kever. If you look in Torah Tamima, that Vart is there, by the way. He doesn't tell the whole story in Torah Tamima, but that Vart is there. Where were we? Yeah, so right, so the Rav Sternbach has this kasha, the Nod B'Yudah. He doesn't understand the Nod B'Yudah because he says, "I understand that we're not going to make a chiyuv to do more for your Rebbe than you would for the Ribono Shel Olam. That's when you're doing something for the Ribono Shel Olam. When there's a mitzvah to be Ola L'Regel, it makes sense that we're not going to make a greater mitzvah for your Rebbe than the mitzvah to be Ola L'Regel. But when it's e-efshar, there's a rule in halacha, ain't done in efshar misha e-efshar. You can't derive a situation where something is possible from a situation where something is impossible. There is no Beis HaMikdash anymore, unfortunately. We don't have the ability to be Mevakar Pnei Shechina at all anymore. It's simply e-efshar. So you're going to derive that because we don't have the ability, we should be Mevatel another mitzvah also? And we should get rid of the mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Rabba Beregel? He says, it's not mistaver. It's very mistaver that when you're doing Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, not to do Kabbalas Pnei Rabba more than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. But once Kabbalas Pnei Shechina becomes impossible, why is it mistaver to go in and make it that we should get rid of the other mitzvah also of Kabbalas Pnei Rabba? So says Rav Sternbach, I have an entirely different approach to the whole idea of Chayiv Adam Lachbil Pnei Rabba Beregel. He says, the word Chayiv is often mistranslated. The word chayiv in this context does not mean obligated. Does not mean that one has a chiyuv to do it. The word chayiv means it's a really nice idea. how can you say that? Where do you ever have the word chayiv, meaning a nice idea, a good thing to do? He says, well, after all, it's a musar. He says, after all, the Chazal tell us, chayiv adam lomar masa yagiu ma'asai lema'asai avosai. Ma'asai lema'asai avosai. A person is chayiv to say, when will my actions become like the actions of my forefathers? So we're all mevatel mitzvah seif. We didn't wake up this morning and say, hark, when will my actions be like the actions of my forefathers? We're not in violation of mitzvah seif. It doesn't literally mean chayiv. It means that's a musar. That's a mindset a person's supposed to have. So similarly, chayiv adam levakar pnei rabba beregel is a musar. It's a mindset that a person should have his Rebbe on his mind. He should keep the image of his Rebbe on his mind and should want to visit him whenever he has the opportunity to visit him. So that's something that's a Musar Haskel, something a person should have in his mind. And that's why Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, just like Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote Chayiv Adam Lomar Masay Yagil Masay and the Masay Avosai, because it's not really a Chiyuv per se. Now, what about the fact that the Pasuk speaks about Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, and we derive that the Inyan is really about Regel? So he says, no, the Geder of this Chiyuv, of this non-Chiyuv Chiyuv, of this idea, is that when you are visiting people, when it's a time that people visit, you should include the Rebbe on the list of people to visit. Meaning, it's a lack of kavod to the Rebbe if you're going to go and visit with family and friends, and not visit with the Rebbe. So during the times of Elisha HaNavi, it was apparently common for people to visit family and friends, Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. Nowadays, families get together on Yom Tovim. So by the time the Gemara got to it, Yontif was a time typically spent with families and friends. And that's why the Gemara attaches it to the idea of Yontif. And he says, Shurmach says that nowadays, well, he doesn't say this, but perhaps you could argue, perhaps you can make the taino according to what he's saying. When do people typically visit the Rebbe nowadays? A lot of people don't do this beregel thing. When do people in yeshivas, when do they have chagigas with the Rebbe? They have on Chanukah usually, and Purim. Right? Those are times that families, there's always a family Chanukah party, and there's Purim Suda is a time that families very often get together. Maybe that's the Inyan, that whenever you're being Purim, you're going to visit everybody. You go visit all your friends and you go bring, right? And you bring Mishloach Manos, and maybe there's an Inyan that Dafka to go to the Rebbe to make sure that you're Mevakar Pnei Rabbo. I try to be Makbid every year. I don't leave my house on Purim because I feel bad if people come and I don't want to miss them, except for 5 minutes I run out to Rabbi Kamenetsky. So at least that. I'm not going to make it to Washington Heights to Rabbi Shechter, but at least 5 minutes make it out to Rabbi Kamenetsky to Mevakar Pnei Rabbo. So you're going to visit other people. It makes sense that you should visit with your Rebbe. So he says that's why, that's the nature of the chiyuv, not a chiyuv per se. And he says maybe that's why women don't do bizman hazeh, even though the makar is about women. He says maybe it's because it's not the derech of women lahofia tamid, to always be found by rebbeim in general. That women don't visit rebbeim so much anymore nowadays. I don't know if that's true. I don't know where he gets that from, but that's what he says. So. So therefore, he says, to then apply the chiyuv to the week after Shavuos, he says, based on my analysis, makes no sense to apply it to the week after Shavuos. The week after Shavuos is certainly not a time where people are typically visiting with family and friends, so it has no business doing, it does not belong at all during the week after Shavuos. That's Rav Sternbach's basic piece, where through that he tries to answer all of the various questions on this Chiyuv Levakar Pnei Rabbo Beregel, but obviously it comes at the cost of taking the word Chayiv and turning it into not really Chayiv. Yeah. No, because where Schumberg's idea of the Geder of the Chiyuv is whenever you have a day that you're going visiting, or that you're visiting with a lot of people, you're meeting with a lot of people, make sure your Rebbe's on the list somewhere. So make sure you visit with the Rebbe. So that's how he understands the geder of the kavod. He does think it's a chiyuv of kavod for the Rebbe, but again, a Musar Haskel more than a chiyuv, and that the geder of the kavod is that it's a lack of kavod to visit with everybody else and not to visit with the Rebbe. That's how Rav Sternbach understands the whole Inyan. Okay, a couple of points in all this Haggadah before we get to. before we get to the Mishnah and Chavches, there's several sugyas that we can go into. I haven't yet decided. I was asking Rabbi Balzer which ones he did. There are a lot of sugyas that you can go into, starting with the Mishnah and Chavches, but a couple of Agadita points. So the Gemara tells us that there was a strange conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Ilai, or Yochanan Rabbi Ilai, and they were sitting in a sukkah once. The Gemara later tells us, by the way, it wasn't sukkahs when they were sitting in the sukkah; it was Shabbos. They were sitting in a sukkah on Stam Shabbos, a regular nice Shabbos day, and Yochanan Rabbi Ilai asked Rabbi Eliezer, "Do you mind? It's really hot. Can I put a tent or a little umbrella over the sukkah to protect us from the sun?" And Rabbi Eliezer says, "You know, it's an interesting thing. Every single shevet in Klal Yisrael had a navi come from it, or every single shevet in Klal Yisrael first had a shofet come from it. Then it got a little hotter." He's like, "That was a strange response." And again, he says, "Can we put up a tent?" He says, "You know, every single shevet also had a navi, so the conversation doesn't really flow. It doesn't fit." And the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer wasn't really trying to avoid him per se. Rabbi Eliezer just had this interesting hanhaga. Shlo amar davar shlo shamam pi rabo me'olam. He would never say anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. He would never say over any Torah that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. And he happened to have not heard this inyan about Mosef alol arai from his Rebbe. So he didn't want to respond to it. So he started talking about different topics. Whenever Chazal do something like this, you always have to ask, why that topic? Why didn't he talk about some other topic? Why ein lecha kol shevet, that there wasn't a shofet, that there wasn't a navi? So the Aruch Liner asks this question, and he says as follows, that what he was telling him was that in the Maskana of the Sugya, we see that the whole shailu was only within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Because according to the Chachamim, it's pashut, that it would be that it would be mutter to be Mosef alo al arai, and therefore it would be mutter to put the sadin over the sukkah. So his whole shaila was only within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, within his own shita, that Yochanan was asking him. So perhaps, as the Aruch Liner, Rabbi Eliezer was telling him, "Listen, I got to do what I believe is right. You have someone put out as a 10-minute halacha topic. When should you paskin like this guy? When should you paskin like the other? You have a choice. You can paskin like me or paskin like the Chacham. What's the rule for you? When you have me versus the Chacham, you have Rabbi Eliezer versus the Chachamim. So your rule is you follow the Merubim, you follow the Rabbim. And the Rabbim is the Chachamim, and therefore that's how you're supposed to paskin. You're supposed to paskin like the Chachamim." So what did he tell him? He tells him, "Ein lecha kol shevet b'shevet," that there isn't a shofet. And so each one leads his own tribe, but when you don't belong to anyone, you don't know what to do. You follow the majority opinion. You don't take a minority opinion. That's why Dafka chose that throughout all the Klal Yisrael there are shoftim. I'm not the only shofet. There are rabbis all over the place. You don't have to listen to my opinion. That's what Rav Shakti used to always drive home to us, that idea that when people would ask Rav Soloveitchik for Piskei Halacha, he would say, "You don't have to listen to my opinion. You're not my student. You're not my child. You're not my... There's no reason why you have to dafka listen to my Pesach Halacha. You could listen to other rabbis." Rav Shakti said that he once had a maisa where someone called up, or a doctor told him that this doctor had a patient who was a woman who was suffering through some terrible things in her life, and one of the things that she was going through was that she was pregnant with a Tay-Sachs baby, with a baby who had Tay-Sachs, and she wanted to know if she can abort the baby, and she literally emotionally couldn't handle it, and she wanted to abort the baby, and it was very early stages, and she asked the doctor, it was a frum woman, she asked the doctor, "Halachically, am I allowed to do it?" So the doctor was a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman, calls up for Shlomo Zalman, and he says, "Rebbe, I have this woman, patient, she wants to abort the baby, what are you telling her?" Shlomo Zalman says to him, "You know what I hold about abortion. I hold it's murder. I'm not going to be mad at murder. You know that that's what I hold. That's my opinion about abortion. That's not going to change." So the doctor said, "No, don't give me an answer now. Think about it for 24 hours. I'm going to call you back. Just think about it. I don't want an answer now." He says, "Oh, 24 hours. It's not going to change in 24 hours. But he says, "Okay, you want me to think about it? I'll think about it for 24 hours. 12 hours later, that night, the doctor's phone rings, and it's from Shlomo Zalman on the other end. Shlomo Zalman says, "Is this woman, is she the wife of one of my Talmidim? Does she come to me for all of her Piskei Halacha?" That's no. She's just curious what the halacha is. So Shlomo Zalman said, "Tell her that there's a rabbi in Yerushalayim who's a very big Talmud Chacham. His name is Rabbi Waldenberg, and she should call up Rabbi Waldenberg and ask Rabbi Waldenberg the Shaila. Rabbi Waldenberg was the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer happened to hold that early stage abortions in situations like this were mutter. So Shlomo Zalman said, you have to accept my opinion. So that's what Rabbi Lezer was saying. Why call Shevet for Shevet as a shofet? What do you have to follow my opinion? Adrabi, you're not allowed, probably not allowed to follow my opinion. You have to follow the Merubim. That's what the Mishnah Maseches Idyos says. We've mentioned before that Hanani ben Akavya, Akavya ben Mahalalel, was telling his son, Hanani ben Akavya, listen, I disagreed with the Chachamim on three major issues, and I disagreed with them because I held I was right. I really think I was right against the Chachamim, but that was my opinion. You're not allowed to follow my opinion. You should follow the Merubim. Atosha matam mipi Merubim one way, and mipi and from me another way. You got to follow the Merubim. So that's what the Aruch Liner suggests. That's perhaps what Rabbi Lezer was telling him. And he also suggests, maybe he was telling him, there are so many Shoftim in Klal Yisrael, you're a Shofet too. Yochanan ben Rabbi Lai, you're also a Talmud Chacham. Not every Pesach Halacha has to be just like the Rebbe. Sometimes a Pesach Halacha could be a little different than the Rebbe. As long as you're a Barura, you're someone who could arrive at your own opinion. So you have the right to arrive at your own opinion. Also, you don't have to do exactly what I would say. You could paskin against me. It's like I told you many times that when someone asked Rav Shechter once, when do you paskin like Rav Soloveitchik, when do you not paskin like Rav Soloveitchik? His response was a very wise one. He said, you paskin like Rav Soloveitchik when you believe Rav Soloveitchik is correct, and you don't paskin like Rav Soloveitchik when you think he's incorrect. Meaning that as long as you're a Bar Hara, you're someone who could paskin halacha on your own, so then you have the right to paskin. Not everything has to follow exactly like the Rebbe. Of course, you need to be Magil or Ra to get to that point, but Rav Shechter used to say that he was under the impression that Rav Soloveitchik overestimated his Talmidim's abilities. He said that there were some Talmidim that clearly were not Higiel Ora, and Rav Soloveitchik used to tell them, yeah, you're a rabbi too. You can pass him too. So Rav Shechter pointed out, not everyone who has the word rabbi before their name is necessarily Higiel Ora. So it's not always, but okay, but that's a different. So anyway, so then the Gemara goes on to say that Rabbi Eliezer, this wasn't the only unusual hanhaga that Rabbi Eliezer had of not saying anything they didn't hear from his rabbi. The obvious kasha everyone asks on that. Rabbi Eliezer never said anything he didn't hear from his rabbi. In Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Kook points out, in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Shach to point out, Hashem Rav Kook, in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it says that Rabbi Eliezer would say such chidushim shlo shamu kosle beis medrash me'olam, that no walls of any beis medrash heard these chidushim before. They were remarkably, groundbreaking chidushim. So, my high, how could it be Rabbi Lezer had this on Haga? He never said anything he didn't hear from his Rebbe. Then on the other hand, he said groundbreaking chidushim. So this was, I'll never forget this day when we learned Chav Chesem Ralph and Rav Shechter Shir, just like the hashkafa that he gave us on that day, I thought was and just his life experience, I thought was remarkable. So he said that you boys won't understand what this means, that the two can make perfect sense, that both can make perfect sense, but I understand what it means because I sat in Rav Soloveitchik Shir. And every other word out of Rav Soloveitchik's mouth was, I heard from my father in the name of my grandfather. Everything he said was, I heard from my father in the name of my grandfather. And all of his Torah was revolutionary. It was chiddush. He applied the whole Brisker methodology, Torah Chaim, which was never really done before. He did amazing things with his chidushei Torah. What's the vart? The yesodos, the principles, the way of thinking, the way of analyzing, the basic ideas. That's all I heard from my father in the name of my grandfather. How to then go and apply them? That was all his own. So he says, maybe that's the verb with Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer lo amar davar shloshem pi rabo. He would never say any halacha that wasn't firmly grounded in something that he was taught from his rebbeim. If it was a masechta that he wasn't taught from his rebbeim, he wouldn't say anything. Everything was firmly grounded in what he was taught from his rebbeim. But then how he applied it was total chiddush. Everything that he applied was brand new. That was something that was totally new. The Gemara goes on to say that Rabbi Lezer had another anhaga, lo kadam niyadam bebeis hamedrash, that no one ever beat me to the beis hamedrash. I was always the first one there. And it's a little bit strange. It says not only that, he says I was always the last one out also. I was the first one in the beis hamedrash, I was the last one out. Unless you think I was shluffing in the beis hamedrash all day, I never slept in the beis hamedrash. Not in a shinas arai, not a shinas keva. I was the biggest masmid ever. And I never spoke sichas chulin. And by the way, I never said anything that I didn't hear from my rabbi. So the Achronim asks, Ben Yoyada asks, what's he doing? they asked him Shaila. He knew the answer to either 18 out of 30 or 12 out of 30, depending which version of the Gemara you believe. So he didn't know the answer to a bunch of them, and he didn't know the, not that he didn't know the answer, the Gemara said he didn't say the answer because he didn't hear it from his Rebbe. So they asked him, what, you really never say anything that you didn't hear from his Rebbe? And then he goes down this whole laundry list of his amazing hanhagos. So Ben Yoyada explained that he was telling them, lest you think that the reason I'm not responding to this is because this hanhaga of lo amar davar shloshav mipi Rebbe, that I don't say anything that I didn't hear from my Rebbe, is because I was lazy, and that's why I didn't hear all that much from my Rebbe. Lest you think that you should know that you have to respect your Rebbe. You should know that you should respect me, and that I it's not because I was lazy. I'm not just an ice farf who was just sitting on the sidelines, sleeping the whole time. I was the first one in. I was the last one out. I heard everything they ever had to say. It's just you can't get everything. Even if you hear everything they ever have to say, even in a lifetime of teaching, Torah is so vast that there's going to be a lot of things that you're not going to hear from your Rebbe. And that's how the Ben Yoyada understands. He also says that lo sachti sichas chulin. I never spoke sichas chulin. So Shechter pointed out on that line of the Gemara that the Gemara tells us elsewhere, darshan from psukim va'allahu lo yibol shafilu sichas chulin shel tamidei chacham tshrichem limud. That you need to learn even from the sichas chulin of tamidei chachamim. That's what we learn from va'allahu lo yibol. So the obvious kasha is it also to speak Sichas Chulin or not? Does Talmud Chacham speak Sichas Chulin or doesn't he? Rav Lozer says, I never spoke Sichas Chulin. Well, why not? If it's something that requires limud, it's something that's so wonderful that requires... So you could say, well, it does require limud, but not as much as the Torah of Talmud Chachamim. So he had this extra chumrah. He would never even speak Sichas Chulin. Rav Shechter quoted, though, from Chaim Volozhiner, that I think in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that Sichas Chulin, that requires limud, doesn't mean that the guy is stam sitting back schmoozing about the Yankees. That's not the Sichas Chulin that requires limud. Sichas Chulin that requires limud, he says, again, this was Rav Shechter's day of telling us all about Rav Soloveitchik Shir. He said, when I was in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, he would say a shir for 3-4 hours one day, and then develop a yisod and bring rayas from Rambams all over the place and Gemaras all over Shas. Then the next day he would come in and say, forget everything I said yesterday. It was all wrong. There's a Gemara against me, and scratch all of that. So what? The last day's shir, 3 hours of Bittul Torah? So he says, no, Chaim Volozhiner says, that's what Sichas Chulin means. Sichas Chulin means even the Hava Aminas of Tamidei Chachamim, Tshrichim Limud. The Gemara, when it gives a Hava Amina, when the Gemara has a whole back and forth, sometimes you learn with younger kids, and they'll, you'll have go through a whole sugya back and forth, then the Gemara will say, Allah Moshe Mishinai. Right, the beginning of the Masechta. How do I know the sugya has to be 10 tefachim? So it goes back, oh, the Aron, the Kaporis, oh no, it's the Kruvim, it's this, it's that, then you go for a daf, and then at the end, Allah Moshe Mishinai. The Amos are really Chamisha tefachim, Shisha tefachim, it doesn't really fit, Allah Moshe Mishinai. So the natural question is, should we just rip the page out of the Gemara and throw it out? What was the point? The point is, even a Hava Mina, Sichas Chulin require limud as well. There's so much Torah to be learned in the Hava Minas. How many of us would know how tall the Kruvim were in the Beis Hamikdash and how they were in the Mishkan and exactly without that whole Hava Mina? You learn so much from the Hava Mina. Rav Shechter used to say that you learn a lot from Talmidei Chachamim what to learn and what not to learn. Also, you learn what not to say. Also, he said that when he was in 11th grade. He was fairly precocious. He was a pretty bright kid, apparently, and he had outgrown all the high school shiurim. There were no high school shiurim that were challenging for him. So, and apparently none of the college shiurim really were challenging enough for him. Either they put him in Rav Soloveitchik shiur with the smicha students, because that was the only thing that could challenge him. But the problem was, Rav Soloveitchik only said shiur 3 times a week. It was 4 hours at a time, but he only said shiur 3 times a week. So he said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then he was in Boston the rest of the week. So he only said shiur 3 times a week. So they thought it wasn't right that a high school student should get off 2 days a week from shiur. 3 days a week from shiur, they didn't think that was nice. The other students would be jealous that a high school kid that is only has to go to shiur 3 days a week, because obviously the other day is what he's going to be preparing for shiur. But so they sent him to Rav Gorelick's shiur, the second shiur in the college. They sent him to Rav Gorelick's shiur for the other 2 days a week. So they had him Rav Soloveitchik's shiur for the 3 days a week, and they added on his workload to go to Rav Gorelick's shiur. So he said when he was in Rav Gorelick's shiur, every once in a while Rav Gorelick would say to him, when he'd get to a difficult point, he would say, "No, what did Rav Soloveitchik say about this?" So he said one time, Rav Gorelick said about a Rashi, there's a Shver Rashi. He said, "No, what did Rav Soloveitchik say about this?" Rav Shechter said, Soloveitchik didn't discuss this Rashi. So Rav Gorelick said, you, just like you learn from Talmidei Chacham what you're supposed to talk about, you also learn from Talmidei Chacham what you're not supposed to talk about. Weiter, we're skipping this Rashi. So that's also a Sichas Nun Shel Talmidei Chacham, what you're not supposed to focus on. A lot of times you could focus way too much energy on minutia and miss sometimes the main point. You could argue that's what we're doing now, but okay. Rosh Hashanah spent a day in this Gemara. The Gemara also says that they said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that he was never sach sichas chulin. He never spoke sichas chulin. Fractus fas emes, the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah daf lamed aleph tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spent 40 years in business. You mean to tell me he was never sach sichas chulin 40 years in business? It's impossible. Obviously, he had to talk business if he was doing business. So he says that you have to say that miyamav means from the day he rose to his position as Rosh Yeshiva. And you have to say that way. The Gemara over here won't read straight otherwise. Because Rabbi Lazar and his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, both claim to have been the first one in the Beis Medrash and the last one out throughout their entire lives. So it can't be throughout their entire lives. It must be at a point when they were higia to a certain point, when they reached a certain point of godless. Two final points. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells us some of the Gemara over here tells us some of his hanhagos also, and one of the hanhagos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is that he was never omeid. He never said it's time to get up from the Beis HaMedrash, that it's time to leave the Beis HaMedrash, except for 2 days a year, an erev Pesach and erev Yom Kippurim. So erev Yom Kippurim is. The reason is obvious that he needed to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat an erev Yom Kippurim, so he would, even if he was in the middle of learning, he would dafka say, let's leave the Beis Medrash, it's time to eat on erev Yom Kippurim. What about erev Pesach? So Rashi gives two explanations about erev Pesach. Rashi writes, Mipnei Asiyas Pischehem, because he had to go make a Karban Pesach. And also for the children to make sure they don't fall asleep, because you need the kids awake in order for you to be mekayim the mitzvah. Vigad de levincha, you need the kids awake for the seder. So he would go home to make sure that the kids would be motivated to stay awake for that night So either motivated to stay, or more likely to make sure they take a nap so that they'll be able to stay awake for that night of the seder. The difficulty over here is that the Aruch Lener says, why did Rashi, if Rashi gives two pshatim, it's obviously because there's a problem with one of the pshatim. So the Aruch Lener points out that Rashi had to say the Karban Pesach reason, and he didn't just say, because the Gemara in Pesachim Kuvtes says Mipnei Tinokos. The Gemara says explicitly that it's because of the children. So why would Rashi come up with a different reason because of the Karban Pesach? Why not just say Mipnei Tinokos? It's a Beferish of Gemara that it's Mipnei Tinokos. So the Aruch Lener points out that Rashi is probably bothered by Tosas Kashem Psachim Daf Kuvtes. In Psachim Daf Kuvtes, Tosas asks, how can you say it's Mipnei Tinokos? Children need their father to sleep? Children can sleep without their father. We're going to see in the Gemara I had to do today that children maybe can't sleep without their mother. They wake up in the middle of the night, call Ima Ima, but they don't call Abba Abba, thank God. Right? They call Ima Ima. So children can sleep without their fathers, they just can't sleep without the mother. What does the father need to be there for? So Tosus changes the girsa. He says it's not Mipnei Tinokos, he says it's Mipnei HaPsachim, because of the Karban Pesach. So Rashi accounts for both possibilities. Now, why not just stick with that girsa alone, Mipnei HaPsachim? Because it's likely that this hanhaga was something that he did even after the Churban HaBayis. He lived both while the Beis HaMikdash was around, as well as after the Churban HaBayis. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's the one that made all those takanos after the Churban HaBayis. And it says for all of his days, he always said, on Erev Pesach, it's time to get up from the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, even when there was no Churban Pesach, he still held it was time to get up from the Beis HaMikdash. So it must be for that, you have to say that's something to do with the Tinokos. But again, what do you do with the kasha? Tinokos can't sleep without their father, so the Ritva and the Ra'ah give a totally different pshat. They say they must have a totally different gears on the Gemara. Not Mipnei Tinokos, not Mipnei Pesachim. They say it's Mipnei Matzah. He needed to go prepare the matzah, to bake the matzah. Special Indian of baking the matzah on Erev Pesach Achar Chatzos. During the Zman of the Korban Pesach, Matzah's Morim Yochluhu, there's a strong connection between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So Dafka wanted to bake the matzah on Erev Pesach. And that was a worthwhile endeavor to take off. And one last point. Two last points, sorry. The Gemara over here says about the Talmidim of Hillel, that Hillel was zochet to have 80 wonderful Talmidim. And it tells us that 30 of those Talmidim were ro'i shetishra lein shechina kimoshe Rabbeinu. That they were ro'i to have the shechina rest on them like Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look on the margin of the page, it says, Ayin Sanhedrin Yiral Famed Aleph, Umashe Nitfas Shem Begilion B'Shem Rashal, Demochek Zeh. Take a look in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. It says something over there in the margin of that page, in the name of Marshal, where he erases this Girsa. So, in Sanhedrin Yer Aleph, they were saying a hesped for somebody. I don't recall the exact Gemara, but it was a hesped for someone. I think it was Shmuel HaKatan or something, that they were saying about him, that he was Roy Shetishol of Shechina, Kamosh Rabbeinu. Am I right? You looked up the Gemara? Anyone know? Huh? Yeah, okay, so that they said that he was Roy Shetishol of Shechina, Kamosh Rabbeinu. So on the margin of the page over there, it says the Marshal took away that Girsa, because he held that Girsa is apikorsis. That why is it apikorsis? There are Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. One of the Ikari Amuna is that there is no other Navi be Yisrael Kemoshe. Moshe is totally unique in his Nevuah. Tishrael of Shechina sounds a lot like Nevuah. So you're going to say that these Talmidim of Hillel were Roish, Tishrael of Shechina, Kemoshe Rabbeinu, that's apikorsis. That they were on the Madrega of a Moshe Rabbeinu is Pashat apikorsis. So that's the Marshal is Mochik that Girsa. What's the justification? How do you defend the Girsa? How can you say Shetishrael of Shechina Kamosh Rabbeinu? Isn't it apikorsis? So the way to defend it, number one, is you could say ro'i, they deserved it as a result of their tzidkus, that they deserved the Shechina Kamosh Rabbeinu, but they didn't actually get the Shechina Kamosh Rabbeinu. They didn't get Nevuah Kamosh Rabbeinu. And to believe that someone could be a tzaddik like Kamosh Rabbeinu is not against the Ikari Amunah. In fact, the Rambam holds that way. The Rambam says, Kol Yisrael, every single Jew, has the ability to be a tzaddik, Kemoshe Rabbeinu, when we maximize our own potential, just not Shetishrael of Shechina, Kemoshe Rabbeinu, not to have Nevuah, Kemoshe Rabbeinu. That's what we don't have the ability to do. So that's one way out of it. The other way out of it is to say, Roi Shetishrael of Shechina, Kemoshe Rabbeinu, Tishrael of Shechina is not the same as Nevuah. Tishrael of Shechina might be Ruach Kodesh. Ruach Kodesh and Nevuah are two different talents that a person might have. And the final point, the Gemara says, okay, maybe not. Okay, the Gemara says that that of the Talmidim of Hillel, the greatest amongst them was Yonasan ben Uzziel. And one of the things it says about Yonasan ben Uzziel was that the only thing it really tells us about Yonasan ben Uzziel says the least of the Talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And don't think he was a slouch just because he was the least of the Talmidim, because you should know that he knew everything. And the Gemara just basically gives a list of everything. He knew everything. Lahan chilo ve'yesh, he knew science, he knew all of Torah, he knew the conversations of the Malachi Ashares, he knew everything. And he was the least of the Talmidim of Hillel. That's what the Achronim say, Lahan chilo ve'yesh. It's Lahan chilo, it's Hussein Amal. God says, I will fill his otzar. What does it mean, I will fill it? It means that his amelus is in Torah. But because he works so hard in Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it almost as a matana. And the Tziv writes like this in Hamak Davar, that he gives it as a matana, all the secular knowledge. People said that way about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a man who never went to college, had very, very little secular education. When doctors would speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, they felt like they were speaking to a colleague. They felt like they were speaking to someone who knew medicine as well as they did. Because he was very bright, and he spoke to a lot of doctors, and the doctors would explain to him, and he would pick it up, he would chop right away, and he would ask questions that were extremely insightful, and he actually cared about what people were saying when he spoke to them. A simple ben adam l'chavero, but also this vart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, they don't even have to work for it so hard. They'll be granted that secular knowledge, just to have the Netziv writes. So that was the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yonasan ben Uzziel, it says that the birds that would fly over his head when he was learning would explode. They would just they would burn from the fire of from something. So what is from what? So Tosa says they would burn from Shadvarm Smechem Kinesinas and Besinai, because his Torah was so pure and so pristine. It was Ki'ilu the Torah. It was comparable to the Torah that was given at Har Sinai, and the Torah at Har Sinai was given with Eish. So since it was given with Eish, there was fire wherever his Torah was. So that's why the birds would burn. The birds that flew overhead would burn. Rashi over says a different part. Rashi says that it's nothing to do with Har Sinai per se, but simply, Rashi says, Nisraf shayu malachei asharis miskabtsin svivav l'shmoa divrei Torah mipiv. that the Malach HaYasharis would gather around to hear the Divrei Torah from his mouth. So I remember when Rav Shechter read that Rashi, he said, that was another time, that was probably one of the most poignant moments of all my education from pre-K through Kollel, was when Rav Shechter read that Rashi. It was one of the many times that he just broke down and started crying. And what I think he said, if I made through the words out through all the tears, was that he said, "You boys have no idea what this feels like, to sit in a shir where you feel like the Torahs that the Rebbe is saying are so valuable that the Malachi Asharis need to come, that the whole world is going to stop to come hear the Torah that's being shared in that room." He says, "When I sat in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, the Talmidim felt that way. We all felt that way. We felt that the Malachim couldn't miss Shir, that they wouldn't miss Shir." I don't know if all the Talmidim in Rav Soloveitchik Shir necessarily always had that feeling, but I guess someone who chapped everything and who understood the godless of the person who was saying the Shir and understood all the Chiddushi Torah. So he said, "We felt that way. We felt that the Malachi Asharis, that watch out for those birds. Thank God there was a roof on top of us, because the Malachi Asharis were coming to hear those Shtikalach Torah." So anyway, so that is Chav Ches Amud Aleph in terms of the Agadata. Now we get back to our originally scheduled program of Inyanei Sukkah and Halacha. So the Mishnah over here has a couple of very important points. One important point is the fundamental machlokes between Meisham and Beis Hillel. Rosh of Rubah b'sukkah v'shulchan b'sukkah b'ayis. If you have Rosh of Rubah b'sukkah inside the sukkah and your shulchan is in the house, so you have this machlokes between Meisham and Beis Hillel, whether it's kosher or possible, whether you can be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah that way or not. Beis Shammai says no good, Beis Hillel says it is good. Amar lahem Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai lo kacha yemaisa shulchan zikne Beis Shammai zikne Beis Hillel v'akras Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. Don't you know the maisa that happened, that they went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, the zikne Beis Shammai and the zikne Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, umatzu shayoshev Rosh of Rubah b'sukkah v'shulchan b'sukkah b'ayis, and he was sitting that way. He had his table inside the house, and v'lo amru lo davar, and no one said a thing to him. So Beis Hillel says, "Don't you see I'm right?" Samar lahem Beis Shammai, "Misham raya? You think that's a raya? Af him amru lo im kein yisano iglo kiyam to mitzvah sukkah miyamecha." Absolutely, that's not a raya, because it's not true. They did say something to him. The ziknei Beis Shammai told him, "If this is how you've been sitting in sukkah, you were never yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah for as long as you've lived. You've never been yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah in all your life, if this is what you've been doing the whole time." So right on that point, I'm sure Rabbi Balzam spoke about this at Night Seder extensively, so I'm not going to spend too much time in it, but you should be aware of Tosos in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Gimel, where Tosos quotes this Gemara. And Tosos says, "Wait a second, we paskin." Tosos says, "How can you say im kein yisanoig lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha?" Where is it? He says that toward the end of that Tosos, it's Tzorich Lomar, in the long Tosos in Daf Gimel, in the skinny Tosos, Tzorich Lomar, "Di Isru Chasam Li Isuye, Heichad Beis Hillel Machmir Mid Rabbanu Beis Shammai Muk Mila Adaraisa, V'lo Gazrinan Im Asa Kedivri Beis Shammai Lo Yatsu Deichavasa Afilu Da Oraisa, Kede Ashkechal Beis Shammai Heichad Yasav Apischa De Metalalta, De Gazri Shammai Yimashe Chachar Shulchano, V'Kaamri Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha." Says Tosos, what does that mean? Da afilu mida oraisa lo kiyem. That even mida oraisa, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. Meaning, Beis Shammai holds, you're not allowed to sit in sukkah when the table is in your house and you're eating off of a table that's in your house. That's Beis Shammai shita, that it's no good to sit in such a sukkah. Beis Shammai holds that if you did sit, why is it also? Is it possible? Not mida oraisa. Mida oraisa is perfectly kosher. It's mida rabbanan shema yimashe chachar shulchano, that we're afraid you're going to end up where your table is. It's din rabbanan. And yet, the Ziknei Beis Shammai said that if you sit like that in sukkah, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you're not mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah. Not mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah. Shouldn't you be mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah midoraisa, just not with all the chumras midrabanan? How can you say lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha? So Tosa says, no, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha means even midoraisa, you're not mekayim in the mitzvah. That the rabbanan have the ability to take a mitzvah daoraisa and reformulate the mitzvah daraisa. You have a mitzvah daraisa that says your sukkah does not need a table in it, you just need to sit in the sukkah. Meet the Rabbanan, they said the table needs to be in the sukkah with you, not outside of the sukkah. The Rabbanan also have the right to say, if you don't do it the way we said to do it, you're not even mekayim the mitzvah daraisa. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says, no, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha must mean you're not mekayim the mitzvah min amuvchar. You haven't been mekayim the mitzvah in the best possible way. But were you mekayim the mitzvah midaraisa? Of course you mekayim the mitzvah daraisa. You can't rob the people of the mitzvah daraisa that they did of sitting in sukkah. The rabbanon don't have the right to take away a mitzvah daraisa. That's a fundamental machlokas Tosfos in the Ran that rears its head all over the place in many, many mitzvos. Minchas Chinuch loves this machlokas. He brings it up all the time. Minchas Chinuch is very into this machlokas by Birchas HaMazon. What if you bench not using the exact formulation the rabbanon used that you're supposed to bench with? You say, thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for the bread. Brich Rachmana Dahai Pita. The Birchas HaMazon that the Gemara Maseches Bracha says for Binyamin Raya. Binyamin the shepherd had a benching. Brich Rachmana Dahai Pita. Blessed is the God of this bread. It's a lot easier than going through the whole benching, right? So what if you do that? Are you Yotzi Daraisa, just not Yotzi Midrabanan? Or are you not even Yotzi Midaraisa? According to Tosfos, you didn't do it the way the Rabbanan want you to do it. Not even Yotzei Midaraisa. According to the Ran, you are Yotzi Midaraisa, just not Yotzei Midrabanan. Not Yotzei the best way Midrabanan. Kiddush. If you make Kiddush, Bidvarim, you just say Good Shabbos. That's a Kiyum Daraisa of Kiddush. What if you just say that instead of doing Kiddush al Kos with the whole text and everything? Are you Yotzei Kiddush Midaraisa, just not Midrabanan? Or are you not Yotzei anything? Same Machlokas, Tosfos, and the Ran. We saw earlier this year, Rav Sturmbach quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, sort of says it in the Mishnah Brura, but he quotes that he has edus from the Chafetz Chaim, that from someone who saw the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim was makbid, that when he slept in the sukkah, the table remained in the sukkah. The table was in the sukkah at all times when he slept in the sukkah, he did that because he felt that a sukkah, in order to be kosher, needs to be at all times ro'i for both sleeping and for eating. Right? So how does this Gemara help reflect on that? Rav Sturmbach brought up this Mishnah. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. If you had the table in your house, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So, Frekt Rav Sturmbach, not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, maybe you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah, but the mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah, why weren't you mekayim that? What do you mean, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha? You were never mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah in your life. So it says maybe that's a raya to the Chafetz Chaim, that if you don't have the table there, you can't even eat in the, you can't even sleep in the sukkah. You're not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah at all. But again, that whole raya only works according to Shitas HaTosfos, that takes this phrase very literally. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You literally have never been mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. But if you go like the Ran, who doesn't take this phrase lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha so literally, what he likely meant is, if this is how you always eat in sukkah, then you haven't been mekayim in the mitzvah of eating in sukkah in the best possible way. All right, what I want to discuss next time is the mitzvah of chinuch in general, and how it relates to sukkah, children eating outside the sukkah in halacha, and what we get from this gemara in terms of the mitzvah of chinuch. Question is, when is that next time going to be? Tomorrow, do we want a separate halacha sugya, or do we want... Do we have to take a vote for three possibilities? It's so complicated. You made things so complicated. What'd you do? Let's just leave it tomorrow as either halacha or gemara. Should we leave tomorrow? All those who prefer a separate halacha sugya tomorrow? Wow, that's like a first, like almost nobody. Okay? All those who want a gemara sugya tomorrow? Okay? If I were to make it about Sunday... Sunday, how many people want a halacha sugya on Sunday? You could vote even if you're not going to be here because you're voting just because you don't want to miss Gemara. Okay, halacha for Sunday. So maybe we'll do halacha for Sunday. 11 o'clock shir, early shir on Sunday. Okay.
What was the third halacha?
That's the